Welcome back, everybody. We're doing another episode of Indie Reads Aloud. Today is an unusual episode because we don't have as many nonfiction authors and memoirists on the program as I would like. So, memoirists, nonfiction authors, if you're out there and you're listening, hit me up. I'd like to have you on the program. Today, Rachel Lavin is here. She comes all the way from South Carolina. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you, Diane. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so glad to meet you.
Me too.
I love that Zoom gives us the opportunity to meet people we never would encounter otherwise. So for that, that's the silver lining from COVID, right?
Agreed.
So the book you wrote, I just love the title. It's called The Donut Diaries.
Yes.
This is just so fabulous. And this is your story about being a personal trainer, your weight loss journey, and all of the things that go with that adventure, right?
Yes.
Fantastic. What was the reason that you decided to write this book? What was the thing that said, you know, I've got a story in me, I should probably write that?
I wanted to tell my story for so long, and I just couldn't find that motivation to, I would start and then I would stop. And when I had my last big weight loss, I'll read a little bit about that, but I just encountered every goal that I thought I was meant to reach and wondered why I wasn't happy or content or proud of myself. And I realized then in that moment that it was never, ever about the weight loss. It was about loving myself. And so that's what kind of chartered this journey of what I share in my book, of how I learned how to love Rachel and not worry about the size of my pants.
I love that. That's super terrific. What was the response from your family when you said, I'm going to write this book, I'm going to put myself personally out into the world, maybe sharing things that you otherwise wouldn't? How was your family supportive? Did they kind of question you and go, oh, you know, do you really want to do that?
I did not want to deal with any of that, so I didn't tell anybody.
Oh, well, that's a good way to do it. I like
Yeah,
that.
the only person that knew that it was happening was my partner, and he just stayed out of my way.
Probably a wise choice.
Yeah.
What did you find was the most joyous part for you about writing this book?
Oh, because every moment when I was writing this book and I was sharing my experiences, my whole point was that so women out there knew that they weren't alone. And I just knew that I was, with every chapter and every word, I was just getting closer and closer to that. And so I'm very proud of this book because that is my message throughout.
That's extraordinary. I love it when people take risks with confidence and really throw themselves out into the world and say, hey, guys, look, you know, maybe I made a couple of mistakes, but if you read this story, you might figure out how not to make the same mistakes, or even better, gleaning some insight and some strength from your words.
Yes.
And I think that's fabulous. That's part of what drew me to this book when I was looking into your book and learning about what it was about and talking to some people. I love that it's such an honest recant of your situation, and you don't hide behind anything.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I am looking forward to hearing you read. And then we'll talk a little bit more afterward.
Okay.
So when you are ready, please take the microphone and read aloud.
Well, thank you so much. Okay. Here we go. My book is dedicated to every single one of you who, like me, spent your entire life hating your body. I hope my story inspires and supports you so you know that you are not alone. You never were. Chapter 1, Dieting, Restricting, and Binging, Oh My. There's nothing more important than true growth, that realizing that you are not the voice of the mind, you are the one who hears it, by Michael A. Singer. Searching for something. This quote reflects my experience with dieting, restricting, and binging through every decade of my life. Over and over, I have done whatever it took to have a small body. Perhaps you have thought, only I feel this way. Only I know how hard it is not to eat these foods. Only I can't keep off the weight. Read on and realize you're not the only one who struggles with obsessing over food and how it affects the size of your body. We all feel as if no one else understands how hard this is. Just keep this statement in the front of your mind. You are not alone. For me, it started at birth. During the first few years of my life, my parents were told that I was born with cystic fibrosis, an incorrect diagnosis, thankfully. But at the time, I was put on medication, and the main side effect was weight gain. I still have some of my baby pictures in which I was nothing but a little cinnamon roll. I was a toddler by the time the doctors realized I didn't have the disease and could be taken off the medication. Some of that weight did come off, but this experience, I believe, charted the course for a lifelong relationship with my body. I didn't realize it yet, but those few years of my life taught me how to fight with my body. I can't remember exactly what my everyday diet was when I was a child, except for the one rule my mom had: no sugary cereal ever. When I wasn't allowed to have certain foods at such a young age, I knew that restricting food had always been a part of my life. I just didn't understand the correlation. Anytime I had the opportunity to sneak one thing I wasn't allowed to eat at home, I binged and binged and binged. At this young age, I'm sure it wasn't really about the weight, yet I now see how restricting and binging carried into my adulthood, and until recently, the two went hand in hand. Any diet by any name instills restriction in us, and in all honesty, there are too many to list here, so I will not list them. But all my dieting really did was reinforce restriction, and I built my entire existence and belief system on restricting food and then binging. The 80s and 90s were my two decades of fad diets, from the Slim Fast shakes to the diet pills and never eating bread. The following two decades of the 2000s consisted of celebrity diets and magazines, juice cleanses, and still no bread. All those crazy diets are still around, they just have better branding. Now they are called lifestyles, and we know them as paleo, keto, and intermittent fasting. I believed all those outlandish dieting rules and applied them to my own life over and over. I was imprisoned by these restrictive foods until 2019. Blissfully restricting. I was still living life believing that it was perfectly normal to restrict most foods. I even passed those beliefs on to my clients. Remember the expression, suddenly a light bulb went off? Well, I heard myself telling a female client something I've told clients on a regular basis for years. Don't eat a banana after our workout because it just has too much sugar. As the words left my lips, my immediate afterthought was, what am I saying? In a single rush of truth, it hit me, and I knew right then and there that I still believed false dieting rules. Unfortunately, I expected my clients to do the same. Someone told me once to never eat carrots because they have too much sugar. And I guess that list just grew from there. Foods that come from Mother Earth were deemed bad because of their sugar content. Seriously? So, what if fruits and vegetables have sugar? This extreme circle keeps diet culture alive, and we continue to live by it. Please, I'm begging you, open your eyes, think for yourself. Does this make any sense? Diets change their packaging all the time and promise us some magic potion that will finally make this one work. Every single diet in the world has one goal: to teach us that our bodies aren't good enough the way they are. and that we will never be happy without being on a diet to achieve thinness. It's been drilled into our brains from the youngest age that we must always be on a diet. It's literally our society's normal state for everyone to be talking about what diet they're on and restricting some kind of food to be the smallest we possibly can be and taking up the least amount of space possible. All for what? Have any of us truly been happy living this way? For most of my life, my diet consisted of processed and packaged garbage. My refrigerator and pantry were only stocked with products that were fat-free, sugar-free, taste-free, salt-free, free, or had the word diet on the label. If there were vegetables in my fridge, those were the salads in a bag, and my freezer was always stocked with prepared meals of some kind. Looking back on the way I learned to eat, I can understand why my body was a hotbed of inflammation and weight gain. Even though these were the types of food in my life, I still believed things like pasta, bread, and sweets were the only foods that were really going to make me fat. All of my attention and energy was always focused on restricting some type of food or entire food groups. This is how I grew up. I know I'm not alone. A lot of us grew up with similar diets. The cycle has repeated itself for decades. I believe with every ounce of my being that this cycle was completely normal. Once it dawned on me that I was still living every day on this messy and unfulfilling diet merry-go-round, I wanted off immediately. I didn't want to waste any more time being unsatisfied with the small list of foods I actually allowed myself to eat. I wanted to enjoy, I wanted to taste. That shift meant that I had to think for myself and reprogram more than 4 decades of dieting and restricting. Food has been my enemy, and I had lived in a constant state of fear that I was going to gain weight if I wasn't constantly restricting my food intake. I was undernourishing my body instead of letting it do what it is designed to do, eat. Waking up is the fun part. In the last half of 2019 and well into 2020, I made a conscious decision to stop restricting anything and everything. Nothing was off limits. I had to relearn every single thing I had been told about food my entire life and start from scratch. I wanted better for myself and for my clients. No more shame, no more punishment, no more beating myself up because I ate a donut. I had to come to terms with my smaller body changing. Was I going to be okay? Could I be happy if my body changed? But then I asked myself, was I actually happy before, even when I was in a smaller body? The answer was no. I have been consumed by dieting, restricting, and binging for 49 years, and I was exhausted. I wanted to eat foods that nourished my entire body. I wanted to eat foods because I enjoyed their taste. It's okay to associate foods with feelings. They can bring back fond memories, such as a warm, cozy feeling associated with a hot piping bowl of chili. Sometimes it's simply because that donut looks too good not to eat. I spent way too many years not eating an extremely long list of foods I thought that were going to make my body big. For what? So I could fit inside the bubble of what I was taught my body was supposed to look like? I'm hopeful that the truth speaks louder than any diet's claims or promises. Diets only provide temporary results. The weight never stays off, and diets will never work the same way twice. It just isn't a sustainable way to live. We are constantly trying the latest and greatest new diet to achieve what we already have, the right body. Here is more valuable truth. Every single diet is impossible to sustain long term. And they all suck. The diet that changed my life. I know you're saying to yourself, why is she telling me about some big life-changing diet after she just told me to never diet? Well, this is much more than a diet. It's the part of my story that turned my life 180 degrees from who I was to who I am now. It helped me realize I knew nothing about taking care of myself, physically or mentally. I sparked the desire to learn about myself and why I kept repeating the same patterns. This experience helped me grow into a self-sufficient adult which encouraged me to learn more about where I came from and why I was running from everything and everyone. It provided me a whole body and mind healing that lit my path to self-discovery and prompted me to ask myself, who am I? I feel like we all have that moment in life where we are presented with a choice to stay the same person we've always been or grow into the person we were meant to be. This was a pivotal lesson, and it completely changed me. I learned how to listen to my body's signals, how to nourish my body with real food, no cleanses or packaged diet food this time. Until this experience, I had no idea how to cook a lick of food. I could microwave a low-cal frozen dinner, but I had no interest in cooking. I couldn't follow a recipe, and I hated touching raw food. In 2008, I was a single woman living in a 400 square foot apartment in New York City. I was enjoying my New York life, including social life. After all, my dream was to live in the Big Apple. But I was still extremely uncomfortable in my own skin and always so unhappy with how my body looked. I began working at this gym in Manhattan. I loved my job there. It was such a great place with great people. And even though it's long gone, I'm fortunate to still know some of the wonderful people I met. Honestly, my entire 20 plus career remains my second favorite job as a personal trainer. In 2011, my gym closed and was sold, and the new owners thought pushing our personal training program was the key to the gym's success. They launched a 90-day fitness challenge. At the time, 30-day, 90-day challenges were kind of all the rage. And they were gaining popularity on social media. We were told to pick a member, train them for 90 days for free. The catch was they had to post a picture of every single thing that they ate and on social media. The individual had to have frequent weigh-ins and was required to post those results as well. That sounds fun. I'll never forget the day when my fitness manager sat me down in the office and asked me if I was happy. Oh boy, I knew where this conversation was going. It wasn't the first time I was spoken to about my body. He proceeded to tell me that I needed to look the part of a personal trainer. He told me that I should participate in the 90-day challenge along with the other members. He said in his usually overexcited way, "Jump on the scale right now. Let's see where you're at." My insides contracted in fear. My palms began to sweat. In my mind, I was screaming, "No, I don't want to." But I stepped on. What does that number say, 170? It's not right. There's no way. But it did. I had put on weight again. 170 pounds was my highest weight at to this point. I was 5'3". I was taught, like everyone else on the planet, that that number equaled obesity. I remember the way I felt seeing the highest number of my life at the time. It was scary and painful. I was so ashamed. I was devastated by how fat I was, and I immediately burst into tears. Truthfully, looking back, my diet was crap. I ate like a teenager, grabbing the first thing I saw, skipping meals, living on protein shakes. My body was seriously rebelling. I was bloated and uncomfortable most of the time. I know now that I was experiencing a severe case of inflammation along with weight gain. I needed help, but I didn't know how. I had no clue how to handle situations or people like that one. I would leave most similar encounters feeling like my heart was breaking and I was always in tears. I would walk away thinking, why does this person not like me? What did I do? Why are they finding fault in me, in my body? And then after the hurt, the anger would come because I would feel so betrayed. As a result, that person would be cut out of my life forever. I repeated this painful but very real cycle for years. During this time, I was incapable of loving my body or myself. I was always looking outside myself for approval, and I could never trust anyone because I didn't trust myself.
Okay, that's some really powerful writing. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
I find this a remarkable journey story. I wonder, when you got done writing the book and you put it all on the page, was there a time when you kind of held back and said, "Do I really want to do this with my writing?" Or
I
at
was
that
ready.
point, were you just all in and you're good to go?
Yes, I was so ready.
And then once you publish the book, how did you celebrate?
Oh my goodness. So I was living, the transition between New York City and moving here to Greenville, we were staying with family in Florida. And I don't know if you have Longhorn Steakhouses there.
Yep, sure do.
Okay. So I told my hubby, I was like, take me out for a steak dinner. The book is done. And we had a wonderful dinner. I had a giant piece of chocolate cake. And I cried for the first time with joy because I knew it was done and I was putting something amazing out into the world.
And this writing process, I mean, people don't write a lot of memoir. At least I don't get them on the program very often because writing about yourself and putting yourself out in the world takes a lot of courage. Would you recommend that this is a good cathartic process for people, or do you think that it's more of a case-by-case situation?
I think that it is cathartic, but I also want your listeners to understand like 40 to 49. So, on that kind of journey of healing myself, you know, dealing with trauma, dealing with all that pain, dealing with, and realizing that I really had no self-love. So, for me, that 10-year process made this writing this book a ton easier. And I get the question all the time, did you, when you were writing it down, were you breaking down and crying? And I say no, because I really did put a lot of effort into healing myself before writing this book.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, what comes next? Are you writing another book? Are you going to do another project that's similar, but not a book?
I just started a podcast with another wellness woman who we are both kind of in that body love, nurturing your body area of our careers and life. And so we're going to see where it goes. And
That's wonderful.
I'm so excited because the message is, you know, there, back there. It's just unfortunate because it is such an ingrained behavior pattern and thought pattern that most women don't even realize that they're in restriction. And
Sure.
that
And
they're.
American culture is all about restriction. Even though we like to say it's not, really, we have so many rules we follow. And especially as women, I think we have more rules that we have to uphold. So I think a program like yours is going to be a real benefit to women everywhere.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me on the program. And the next time you write a book, I hope you'll come back and share it with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, bye.